vigilantes. I hope you guys are as happy as I am with this incredible market that we have going on in this beautiful space of crypto. You guys are probably watching this video and are like, what the fuck, Raph? Are you not seeing what's happening? Guys, look. The most important part of all of crypto analysis is fundamental analysis. Fundamental analysis is, in our opinion, at the Crypto Vigilante. Gosh, it's probably 90% of it all, guys. And very few people actually do a thorough fundamental analysis of the entire crypto space, because obviously everyone has their own interest, and unfortunately we have this thing called tribalism, where a lot of people will tell you from one cryptocurrency that you can't and you shouldn't look at any other cryptocurrency. And so we have these problems, right, where there is a lack of communication and information in the market moves slowly, much slower than you would want it to move, because unfortunately there are a lot of barriers that people in crypto put these barriers up themselves, and they end up hurting themselves because they're not gathering information from one another. So what's left is a bunch of echo chambers, like, you know, the BTC maximalist crowd, or the Bitcoin Cash crowd, or the Ethereum crowd, or this crowd, or that crowd. And, you know, if you're looking into this space, you're probably going nuts. Like, what the heck? Who do I listen to? And so then you look at a YouTuber, right? I don't consider myself a YouTuber per se. I really don't, because I don't monetize off this platform. And we're on many other platforms that I actually hold most dear, to be honest. I don't need to do affiliate marketing. You guys know that. My analysis is completely objective, and I don't ever want it to be tainted by any conflict of interest. But I digress. What I was saying was that, so you have all these echo chambers, right? And then you have, you know, all these hypes, and everyone's into all these, you know, oh my gosh, the new meme coin, the new dog coin, this, and NFT that, ICO this, and on and on and on and on. And you have a lot of these YouTubers and these quote unquote influencers just completely following hypes and trends. Mind you, yes, that it's important to keep an ear to the ground on these hypes, these trends, and all of these things that passed, like Aristotle would call, almost like accidentals, right? That are not really substantial information, but they're just accidental information. This happened and that happened, and so-and-so bought, and so-and-so sold, and so-and-so is happy about crypto, and so-and-so is mad. And so it's like all these accidentals. What do I mean by accidentals? Things that can be otherwise. All of these events and occurrences and states of affairs that could be otherwise, and that everyone's so caught up on all these accidental aspects of the crypto market. Well, that's exactly why we started the Crypto Vigilante. I know, not this YouTube channel or whatever Odyssey channel that you're watching. We started the Crypto Vigilante because we're a bunch of Bitcoin OGs, crypto OGs, that really want to educate everyone on what matters most in crypto. And what matters most in crypto is sound fundamental analysis. You really have to understand sound fundamental analysis, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't understand what you're even buying, or why you're buying, what you're investing in, or if you don't even know if you yourself are a trader or an investor, and you don't know what's the difference between even investing and trading, then you are going to find yourself in a lot of trouble. The most important investment that you can make in all of crypto is in your education. Honestly, you don't have to be part of the Crypto Vigilante. All of this information is out in the open source. I mean, the only advantage that we offer is that we like a school, right? We give you our research as professors, quote unquote, and say, hey, this is our outlook. And then you guys build on top of that. But really, I find a lot of merit in the study group that has formed out of the subscribers. And that is where I find incredible amounts of value, because you are able to discern amongst all of these different echo chambers in crypto to have an awareness of why such and such is, and why it is the way it is, and what to do with that given crypto network or asset. Now, when we talk about what matters most in crypto, we have to also keep in mind to what it is that the people of the world want. And it is obvious that if there is a cryptocurrency that reflects what the world wants, it is BTC, Bitcoin BTC. And what the world wants is, I can't say that it is what BTC is actually offering into the market, but it is definitely what they've been marketing since day one, right? What BTC has marketed, which is that libertarian awareness that Dr. Ron Paul used to talk about, right? That we need money out of the grasp of the state and the central banking cartel, because humanity deserves sound, hard money, sound money, a sound medium of exchange that is independent of the debt slavery that the entire planet is in. You know, when you're walking around with fiat in your pocket, you are, and by fiat, I mean dollars, euros, yens, pesos, you are literally walking around with debt. And the purchasing power of your money is decreasing by the second. And the only solution that these governments and central banks have in trying to solve this problem is print more debt, enslave you more and your future generations financially. That's they are a one-trick pony. That's all they have to offer. Well, guess what, guys? In crypto, we have many tricks up our sleeves. We are a many trick. We are a pony of many tricks, and we love it that way. As you guys can tell, when I do these walk and talks, it's all improvised. But yeah. Anyways, the cool thing is that in crypto, we actually are experimenting in the biggest free market experiment in human history. It's beautiful. It's a true free market. And what the BTC marketing campaign propaganda of the maxi has been is something that at the Crypto Vigilante we've been very critical of, because that's what they promise, but in reality they don't deliver. They don't deliver digital gold, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, they don't, because in order to be truly digital and to truly be independent from the nation state debt slavery scheme, you need to be fungible at the protocol level, meaning that you need to be private by default. If you're not private by default, you don't have fungibility. And if you're new to this concept and you're asking yourself, well, what the heck is fungibility? Fungibility is nothing more than the idea of having one unit of exchange within a given currency for it to always be interchangeable for another unit of exchange. Wow, right, guys? It's like it's incredible that sometimes you have to explain these basic things, but believe it or not, a lot of people disregard this and they don't take into account the importance of this. Because what ends up happening is that if a currency is not fungible, then you lose its ability for it to be cash in the free market and its ability for it to be a store of value. Because now every unit of account is susceptible to being valued different in the market. So could you imagine if I were to go to the store and someone were to tell me, I'm sorry, sir, I can't take your Bitcoin because 30 transactions ago, it was used in what was deemed an illicit activity. And now you have to prove, or we just can't take it. Sorry. It's tainted. It went through a dirty wallet. And don't tell me that this isn't happening. This is happening all the time. I'll put some links. And if you guys notice in these videos, we've started to put actual QR codes for the links. So I'll put some links up right here. Bam. So you guys can read. I mean, there's just so many freaking links of examples. But amongst the many examples we have, we know that blockchain analytics is not only following BTC transactions and tracing them onto the present moment, but also exchanges are following customers onto the future. And what does that mean? That means that if you buy a Bitcoin from an exchange and you use it in the market and you pass it on to someone else, and then that someone else goes and puts his money, his Bitcoin, into a mixer or a coin join, the last person who touched that exchange was you. And that exchange is going to send you a letter. This has happened already. I mean, do we live in glass houses? Are you guys all voyeurists? Do you guys like to walk around naked everywhere? No. Could you imagine having homes where the default setting was not having any windows or doors? So this is kind of like the insanity that we're dealing with within the BTC rhetoric of having Bitcoin be a store of value and digital gold, because Bitcoin in its design at the protocol level opens itself up to financial voyeurism. And who in their right mind would have their wealth in a place that could easily be traced and tracked? Now I know all the BTC maxis are going to be talking about, oh no, Raph, but you know, there's a second layer called the Lightning Network. And guys, the Lightning Network is transparent, in use right now, by default. It only works by the means of it being centralized. How? Well, the routing of the Lightning Network can only happen through centralized companies that serve as watchtowers to route the transaction for you. So the infrastructure for Lightning Network transactions ultimately are centralized. And by default, since these are companies like Strike and so many others, they are completely open to surveillance all the time. Look, guys, the problems with the Lightning Network in the area of privacy have been known for a long time. And just a couple days ago, Chainalysis published a report where they showed how they are tracking Lightning Network transactions. So there you go again. The idea of digital gold, the idea of digital cash, like Bitcoin Cash says, is a beautiful idea. But us early Bitcoiners, a lot of us knew that was not ever going to be possible on the Bitcoin protocol, for it to be that perfect form of digital money that everyone here, that BTC and Bitcoin Cash both aspire the Bitcoin protocol to be. It's not going to happen on the base protocol layer. It's not going to happen on a second layer. So where is it going to happen? Guys, a lot of the early Bitcoiners knew this. And that's why when you go to a Monero conference, you see a lot of Bitcoin Cash people and BTC people, including developers of both camps who supposedly hate each other. But at Monero conferences, they're all hanging out. Monero, guys, was and is the most peer-reviewed privacy coin on the planet. It is extremely undervalued, oh my gosh. And it is everything that BTC desires to be. It is something, it's incredible. It's incredible. If you like the BTC marketing, then you should be doing due diligence. And if you do your due diligence thoroughly and not just be, you know, if you're not just led by propaganda of what people tell you and you actually look into things, you will discover that true digital gold and true digital cash can only happen within a what we call a privacy coin or an actual cryptocurrency. Now we call BTC and Bitcoin Cash surveillance coins. It's funny because a lot of people even talk about CoinJoin and they would say, well, Raf, you're not taking into account CoinJoin, and then we have the ability to use mixers. Guys, blockchain analytic companies are aware that mixers exist. And guess what they're doing? They themselves put transactions through the mixers, through the CoinJoin. And that's how they probabilistically are able to decipher what transactions are yours. On top of that, the fact that you use a mixer, it's like trying to drink pure water out of a dirty pond where a bunch of people come in with dirt, more dirt than you. You don't know where their coins have been, and you're mixing them, mixing those coins with yours. Like, if that visual doesn't captivate you, I don't know what will. So we, you know, obviously the world has told you guys that the number one use case that all of humanity is clamoring for is sound digital money. Everyone talks about it. Digital gold, a store of value, digital cash. So BTC promised to be digital gold, and unfortunately that promise will never be fulfilled by BTC, guys. That is the honest truth. But we do have two coins in the market racing with the proper fundamental and constitutive makeup to offer that in the market. A money that is truly censorship resistant. A money that keeps away financial voyeurism. A money so good that Michael Saylor says, you can't be that good. A money so good that Max Kaiser says, oh, that's Monero. You know, we have all, you know, these guys admit, everybody in BTC, that's the thing, guys, is that these guys know this, but they just keep doubling down on this transparent surveillance cripple coin that needs crutches of second layers that don't work in the way that they promised they will. So, yeah, guys, when we announced Pirate Chain, dude, it was trading like at 4 cents. And I thought that for the rest of this year, it was going to remain under a dollar, and then it shot up and it went way beyond our expectations. So Pirate Chain and Monero cannot make, people in Pirate Chain and Monero cannot make the mistake that people in BTC have made. BTC isn't, in fact, an inferior product, guys, because you can't really do much with it, and its utility sucks in what it promises. Whereas with Pirate Chain and Monero, we have actual digital gold and digital cash where disclosure is optional. See, BTC is this disclosure by default and half-assed attempts of privacy that don't work. Privacy is by default in Monero and Pirate Chain. So since we have these amazing money competing in the market, it's important to actually use them, guys, not just hodl them, and actually use them in the market and experiment with them, because this is these are the currencies that will ultimately give us freedom. I can't find anything else in crypto that will give us freedom, guys, because everyone knows that the most important aspect of crypto is to free us from central banks and tyrannical governments. We all know that. That's exactly why BTC and the Bitcoin rhetoric has literally sold the world. Well, if that's the case, then how about we be logically consistent and actually use things that work as the desired as a desire that everyone has is actualizing these coins. We have been, you know, we were hard on Pirate Chain for the audits because, you know, they're a newer community. But guess what, guys? Pirate Chain just released their first of many peer-reviewed audits. And so that's really awesome. Just very minor bugs were found. So that should create a buzz amongst the Monero community, who is a much more mature privacy coin that has embraced the FOSS ethos for a much longer time, so that they can learn from one another. In my most recent interview, I spoke with one of the main people behind DarkFi, Amir Taki. And DarkFi is this incredible group of hacktivists that are creating dark finance. DarkFi, right? True censorship resistant DeFi. And so they're using the same technology as Pirate Chain, which is awesome. So not only do we have these third-party audits that just came out for Pirate Chain, but we have the most notable group of hacktivists on the planet using the same technology as Pirate Chain. So yeah, we are, in terms of fundamental analysis, we are extremely bullish on both Monero and Pirate Chain. And it's important, guys, to let's go back to what I began talking to you guys about. Fundamental analysis is what matters most in crypto. You have to know what the heck you're talking about, and you have to know what the heck you're buying into, and you have to understand you can't allow yourself to be taken over by mere propaganda and marketing, guys. There are a lot of interests in this world that do not want you to know the truth. I just gave you the example of Bitcoin. Look at how powerful the Bitcoin maximalist mantras are, right? And yet I have a real hard time finding a sustainable argument that is pro BTC. And I've been digging, guys. I've been really digging. And maybe the one argument that I have is that I find, okay, that's valuable. It's that it is limited in supply. Okay. Cool. But so are all these other platforms. Anything else? What else, guys? As limited supply, that is quote unquote first to market. Well, really, is it truly first to market? I mean, we have forks of Bitcoin that share the same Genesis block. So that claim is not 100% true, but the perceived reality is that is the case. So let's go with it. And maybe that is an advantage that they have over in the market. But when you look at what really matters, you know, in what is the actual utility of BTC, then we have to, you know, and for what it desires, right? Does it have the utility that it desires? Does BTC have the utility that it desires? And the answer is no, it does not have the utility that it desires. Okay, what does? The best two protocols on the planet are Monero and Pirate Chain. Okay. Well, then maybe you guys, everybody should literally reevaluate their stance on BTC. Because if it's not delivering what it's marketing to deliver, then are we being honest with ourselves? Is the space being honest with itself? And yeah, guys. So again, don't let yourself be taken over by hype, by hypes, by trends. Be aware that they exist. But it's more important to really look at things in their constitutive makeup, to analyze them from different perspectives, because as you guys know, crypto is multidisciplinary, and multidisciplinary, it is something that encompasses many, many disciplines. And you know, that's why it's so important to have a community where it's not an echo chamber, where you can actually talk about these things openly and share with one another. Because ultimately in crypto, if the portion of your portfolio is soundly invested in something, if in your quote unquote HODL, if your HODL portfolio is soundly invested, you'll be fine. You'll be happy. And you will be seeking opportunities in the market to buy more cheaper. So yeah, I think that's a message that I think a lot of people need to hear. Because I notice a lot of influencers, you know, I don't want to name any names, but even a lot of crypto influencers are, you know, I see them very frustrated with the market. And the truth is that they're frustrated because I don't think they're focusing on what really matters. I think they're focusing on the hypes, on the trends. They're not really doing a real dive into the economics, into the constitutive makeup of how the incentives are aligned, and if it even delivers what it promises into the market, whatever that may be. So it's getting dark out here. I'm in the middle of the forest. So I'm gonna get going. The most important investment you can do in all of crypto, and I've said this over and over again, is to take your time and learn about it. Really learn about it and have an open mind. Anyone that tells you that the guys over there are idiots and you shouldn't talk to them, or that group is, that's probably where you should be looking. If someone's telling you not to look somewhere, that's probably where you should be looking. But obviously you have to be careful, right? Use good judgment. And I think that's all I have to say. Peace, love, anarchy, guys. Take care. Bye.
I want to talk to you about the impact of emerging technology on law enforcement. So let me start by talking about the challenge of what we call going dark.
And it's time to make a choice. At its end of empire, the United States imagines the power to regulate the world's first great digital currency, Bitcoin.
It's a cyber currency, so how do we get to it?
To provide a framework for its existence. OnSystem is an international group of activist developers led by Amir Taki.
My personal bank accounts were shut down. I was blacklisted from having a personal bank account. It doesn't matter, I was able to use Bitcoin. And now we're hearing stories of people's personal accounts being blocked.
Why are you so dangerous?
Greetings, comrades. I'm excited to share with you today a project we've been working on for the last 4 years, DarkFi.
Our phones and our computers have become reflections of our personalities. They reflect our interests and our identities. They hold much of what is important to us in life. And with that comes a desire to protect privacy and our data. We want to be able to share our lives with the people we choose to share our lives with. I very much feel that way. And technology has become a tool of choice for some very dangerous people. And unfortunately, the law has not kept pace with technology, and this disconnect has created the significant public safety problem we have long described as going dark.
The darkness is coming and will sweep over our digital world. It cannot be stopped, since the benefits it brings are too great.
And what it means is this.
Every technological revolution in history had its naysayers, but they were dragged kicking and screaming into the future against their will. The system, it only responded with more control, more power, more domination. And meanwhile, people are becoming so poor. Like, people in the 50s used to be able to work for 2 years and to buy a house on minimum wage.
Today,
there is something emerging that's extremely powerful out of the freedom which cannot be penetrated by the power and capital monopolies.
A safe deposit box that can't be opened.
It's a space of freedom which is a nascent seed of democratic society.
A safe that can't ever be cracked.
Social structures that resist state control and totalitarian power from the start.
Here's the truth. Even with a supercomputer, we would have difficulty with today's high-level encryption.
Programmed with the code of resistance.
And some devices have a setting where the encryption key itself is erased after too many attempts to break the password, meaning no one, no matter how big their computer, can access the data.
What they really mean is, think of my friends in the state who I need the support of to maintain my position. And stop worrying about your image. Stop worrying what others think of you. They will try to stop this at all costs because it's a big threat to their power. And I say, let's wield that power. Let's make things happen.
The notion that the marketplace could create something that would prevent the closet from ever being opened, even with a properly obtained court order, makes no sense to me.
The interesting thing is, we look at what the market actually desires. We look at what captures people's attention, what is exciting.
Where it will matter a great deal to innocent people that we in law enforcement cannot access certain types of data or information, even with court authority.
To those in power, I say, darkness is here. Your demise is inevitable. To those in power, I say, darkness is here. Your demise is inevitable.
My sense is dramatically darker, especially because of the proliferation of so-called non-traditional communication means.
Beneath this mask is more than flesh. Beneath this mask is an idea, and ideas are bulletproof.
I don't think I'm smart enough to give you a highly reliable answer there. What I've been told by people smarter than I is that
you overthrow the US government through free market economics and free market trade.
Are you watching? Are you listening?
Darkfi
is what they fear it is. A way to leave.
We don't know you.
To
we
forbid.
Don't want you, and the sooner you're put out.
To make a choice. There's a system approaching perfection. Just in time for our disappearance.
So let there be dark.